When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HT, Rudraneel Sengupta.
Welcome to a new episode of A View from the Stands. This is a rather misleading title for the current episode because the stands were vacant for all 5 days of the Southampton test, including the glorious final day, which happens to be our talking point for this episode. But the lack of spectators at the Aegeus Bowl was more than made up for by television viewers. And as the great Michael Holding reckoned, day five could well be the most watched day of test cricket ever. If that were to be true, it was a great day for that kind of viewership because West Indies won. And no other team in this extremely divided world of cricket have their powers to unify. Rudra?
Oh man, what a wonderful test match. It had everything. I mean, this is the way cricket should restart. I mean, this was ideal. It had the heroic chase, it had fantastic fast bowling, it had great reversals of fortune, wonderful, wonderful test match to start off with. And in fact, I mean, talking about day five, Did you know that there are only two instances of a team successfully chasing 100 plus targets with the top four not reaching double figures? West Indies top four scored 4, 8, 9 and 0, chasing 200 at Southampton. It was chased down, all credit to Jermaine Blackwood. But the only other instance of this happening was way back in 1902, in which England chased 263 against Australia at the Oval. Gilbert Jessop, the batsman, came in with a hurricane of an innings. He came in at 40 when England were 48 for 5, chasing 263. And the Times said that as long as cricket lasts, Mr. Jessop's performance will be remembered. So we are remembering it right now. A completely random non-sequitur trivia, which is the kind of stuff I live for, there is actually a spin-off of a Sherlock Holmes book written in 1985 by somebody called Stanley Shaw with a very literal title called Sherlock Holmes at the 1902 Fifth Test. So there's actually a book based on this test. So historic stuff.
Yeah, two more. I mean, on the topic of statistics, two more really relevant ones right here. The fact that West Indies have never lost chasing 200 or less in the final innings of a test during a chase, right? Like they've won 54 and drawn 6 or something like that. And the one that I really like is this one because it really blew my mind. Jason Holder now has more test wins than Brian Charles Lara. And he's done that with 4 back-to-back wins against England. Not back-to-back, but 4 very close by. 2 last year, 1 now, 1 before that. And of course, there was 1 loss in the middle of all of this when he won his 2-1 series. But stats come and go, right? Unfortunately, Jermaine Blackwood could not get that 100, which would have put him in the, you know, in the record books or whatever, you know, wherever hundreds go. But like, how beautiful was that 95 for you to watch?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was a battling performance. I mean, when he came in, he faced some really, really superb and nasty fast bowling, right? Jofra Archer was going at him. Ben Stokes was going at him. Pitched it short. He had bouncers flying in at him. He handled it so calmly. And he has a reputation, right, of being this guy who basically you know, wants to hit the ball. He wants to just step out and hit, which is what Dom Bess in the first innings was mocking him about when he holed out to him, you know, and he did that. Yeah, at Madoff, and he did that little golf swing gesture. And so, you know, this is what Blackwood is known for being a guy who can't, you know, differentiate between T20 and tests. But here he was holding his own, completely calm, not bothered by the offensive fast bowling, you know, the attacking stuff, and playing each ball at on merit. And he has technique, but also Blackwood has something about England, right? I mean, he averages 55 in 7 tests that he has played for West Indies versus England. Wow. Against all other teams, he averages 24 in 22 tests. So imagine 24 and 55. Wow. That's a huge difference. So he likes playing against England, as does West Indies, right? West Indies has a 50% win percentage. In the last 10 test matches they've played against England, they've won 5. And all other test matches, 34 of their last test matches, they've only won 7 against other teams. So, West Indies, German, Blackwood, both of them like England.
Yeah, they do. And Blackwood could well have not played this test, I think, if Shimron Hetmyer had come along with the touring party to England, right? Because he would have been the preference. And there was still talk of Rakeem Cornwall, the off-spinner come, like, all-rounder. I think it was a toss-up between him and Blackwood. And after the first innings, most people had kind of given up on Blackwood, kind of like keeping his place for the second test in Manchester. But then he came up with that.
Yeah. So now he's in, boss. He's in.
Yeah.
He owns that place.
Yeah, and pretty incredibly, see, man, it turned out to be a day where Blackwood was celebrated. It could well have been a day when Jofra Archer was celebrated instead, because what a start he had to day 5. Yeah, 24 glorious runs to push England's lead to 199, gave them and himself something to bowl at. And what a start that was. The Yorker to Campbell that broke his toe and put him out of the game, at least for the first 5 wickets. The wicket of Brathwaite immediately after Brooks at that point at 27 for 3. And, you know, all but 27 for 4 at that point with the one retired hurt. A chase of 200 seemed very, very distant. And then he came back and he got Roston Chase with that incredible bouncer. I mean, what a hostile spell it was even after that, where he had Shane Dowrich dancing, you know, like all over the place. It was just one of the greatest days of Jofra Archer sighting. And it could have been even greater had England won the test match. But man, what a fabulous prospect that guy is. Yeah.
Yeah, and from the time he burst into the scene, we've all known this about Jofra, right? With that beautiful languid action, that like whipped ball that comes in at such a deceptive pace. And he's just, and the old-fashioned hostility that you're talking about, like that's really the excitement of somebody who bowls at 90 miles per hour, who's got that variation, who's got that control, who can take your toes out and, you know, he can hit your helmet. I mean, you better watch out. That's what Jofra Archer is about.
But I'll tell you what inspired him on the final day, right? And this is kind of obvious to everybody who's on Twitter. It's the West Indies fast bowler, Tino Best, for kind of like poking that little hornet's nest. He should not have done it, but he did it. So you're not on Twitter, Rudra. Do you want to know the story?
No, I'm not. Yeah, I do want to know the story. What happened?
Yeah, so Stuart Broad was kind of like, you know, rather politically incorrect, but it was so refreshingly honest when he was asked by Sky Sports on the second day about what he felt like to have been left out of this test. Because Ben Stokes went with the pace of Mark Wood and Jofra Archer to kind of complement Jimmy Anderson at the top, and Stokes himself rounded up the fast bowling unit. So there were 4 of them.
Yeah.
And Broad, with nearly 500 wickets, didn't play. And when Broad was asked about this, he said he was devastated and gutted. And, you know,
It was really difficult. Yeah, sure.
As far as I think, he's probably statistically the best bowler England has had in tests in the last year or so.
Absolutely. Like, he most wickets in the South Africa tour just before, you know, everything came to a halt because of coronavirus. Yeah.
That's right.
So, anyway, there was a story. There was one of the publications had done a story on Broad's anger. And Tino Best retweeted that story with his own quote. And he said, you know, it should have been, basically, I'm paraphrasing here. He said that it should have been Broad playing and not Archer, because we all know that Archer basically hasn't been at his best, or he's not even bowled really fast since the Ashes. And Archer, during the test match, replied saying, "If you know so much, then why don't you coach?" And Best replied to Archer, saying, "Don't speak to me directly, young man. Like, why don't you focus on your cricket? We're going to thrash you on the final day. And you have no picks allowed to." Yeah, again, I'm paraphrasing, but this is the gist of it. And Archer came out the way he came out on the fifth day. I wish Tino Best pisses him off more often, man. Because I don't know. Maybe we didn't see the best of Archer in South Africa, but, you know, in home conditions, there's no one really no one quite like him.
Yeah, I mean, the man has no experience. We have definitely not seen the best of him. We're going to see a lot more of him if he's well protected, if he can maintain his fitness, if he doesn't get more back injuries. Because with test matches, you need time. You know, you need time to develop your experience, your guile, your abilities, your confidence in what you can do. I mean, just look at Jasprit Bumrah, for example. You know, give them 2 years, give them 3 years, and then look at them go. So, but here's the thing. I mean, Jofra, yes, brilliant bowling performance. But what a fantastic bowling performance from the West Indies fast bowling unit. You know, Kemar Roach, Shannon Gabriel, Jason Holder, Aljari Joseph, every one of them stepping up. Statistically, they were so much better than the English fast bowling attack. They obviously took 18 wickets to England's 14. They had more maidens, 41 to England's 28. They had a better strike rate. They swung the ball more. Crickvis gives us this stat, and our cricket correspondent Shom Shubhra Laha, he did the story just yesterday, and. For example, they swung the ball more. They had 0.95 degrees of swing, whereas the English bowlers had 0.69 degrees of swing. They got more seam movement as well, and induced 12% of their balls were edged, which compared to England's just 5%. And this is home conditions. This is the backyard for James Anderson. Mark Wood and Jofra are young and not so experienced, but so they comprehensively outperformed in every fast bowling department by the West Indies fast bowlers. And of course, Jason Holder, so accurate, not so fast as the rest of them, but so accurate, so much guile in his bowling. And by the way, he as well as Ben Stokes, we're just geeking out on statistics on this one, but this is a first in test history that an opposition captain have gotten each other, dismissed each other three times in the course of a test match.
Yeah.
So Jason Holder got Ben Stokes twice in both innings, obviously, and Stokes got Holder in one innings. So the two captains...
That he got him in the second as well.
Yes.
Because, that would have made the finish even more exciting.
Absolutely. But this has never happened in test history. This is amazing.
That's quite insane.
But just to
highlight a little bit of what you just said, I honestly think that the match turned on day four during the final session, where Alzari Joseph and Holder kind of took it upon themselves to reel England back when they were running away with it, when Zach Crawley and Ben Stokes were batting beautifully. You know, difficult times, a very, very difficult period to kind of keep bending your backs when you're not getting any reward. And it was actually Holder and Alzari who took it upon themselves. And Shannon Gabriel came back and cleaned them up beautifully, man.
It was
Test cricket at its finest.
That's hunting as a team, right? Hunting as a team. Yeah. You know what you're looking for.
Yeah. Exactly. But this is the question that I want to leave you with. And I want to know what you have to say about this. Because the fact that the turnaround time between the two test matches is so small. There's no gap. The next test match starts on Thursday. And we've all seen that this series is basically a shootout between the two fast bowling teams.
Right.
How are they going to prepare in such a short period of time? What do you think England's going to do? Because, you know, Manchester is James Anderson's home ground. He's got like an end and a pavilion named after him. That's where he runs in from. Will they ever think of dropping a guy with 585 test wickets for a guy who nearly has 500? Will Wood go out? It can't be Archer now. So what are they going to do with Root coming back in?
Well, it's certainly going to be Mark Wood out, Stuart Broad in. There's no way James Anderson is getting dropped. Yeah. So they want to go back to the Anderson Broad pairing.
Absolutely.
Which was always going to be like, you know, this Mark Wood, Jofra Archer coming in was always very uncertain. You know, so that was a bit unpredictable. So they're going to go back to the predictable thing. And then it would have been a choice of whether you play Mark Wood or Jofra Archer. But certainly you're going to play Jofra Archer. He's obviously fit. And you know, that short turnaround time doesn't affect him. But I think, you know, right now, all the bowlers are just going to rest and do nothing else. They don't need practice anymore. They've been practicing in a bio bubble for weeks now.
Yeah.
Right? So all they want to do...
Yep.
Yes. All they want to do is give their bodies the rest that it needs and it deserves. And then they'll be back at it.
Yeah. We'll be back at it too as soon as that test match ends. There's a great chance that it's going to be our talking point for the next View from the Stands episode as well. So please stay tuned.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on @HTSmartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Summer is always full of fun. And this summer, FanDuel has something for every baseball fan every day to make it even funner. Is that a word? It is now. All customers get a boost or a bonus every day all summer long only on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. Opt-in required. Wager requirements apply. Bonuses awarded as non-withdrawable bonus bets or profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including bonus expiration. See terms and conditions at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.